Hi, my name is Lorraine W. I'm a compulsive overeater from outside of Pittsburgh, and I'm going to start with a third step prayer. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them would bear witness to those I would help of your power, your love, and your way of life. May I do your will always. Amen. Again, I'm Lorraine W., compulsive overeater from outside Pittsburgh. I'll give you current things as of today. I am 62 years old. I'll be 63 next month, if it be God's will. I have a current abstinence of 10 months. And, it's 10 months. And overall, in this program, I've been in OA program for over 40 years. I'm a relapse survivor, but when I was working the program, I have had a total release of weight of over 400 pounds. But that's not all at one time. But in counting the times when I was working the program, I had lost significant weight. I'm currently at a weight loss of 200 pounds. I'm grateful for that, and there's still a lot to go, so I'm one of those persons that's in the process. I started off at 577 back in June of 2023. I'm currently at 375, and I'm grateful for this program, because this program has saved my life, because there are people in this program who serve. And my motto is, and I got this from a couple old sponsors that I had. The motto is, service saves lives. And you all indeed, and those in the past, and those who have gone on, have saved my life. I was born in 1961. So it's like my kids say, I'm a boomer. Born to two parents outside of Pittsburgh, PA. My mother was a nurse, but dad was a mill worker. They were young, 21 and 20. My dad was also an alcoholic. My mother was a compulsive eater. I really never saw my mother really thin. She was never thin. She was, you know, she was ample. My dad was, he loved his alcohol. They were young, passionate with everything, including fighting. But we are also passionate about our eating, too. And one of the first words I was taught, or what I said, that's what my parents had told me. One of the first words I said was taste. You know, I saw my dad eating something, and I was yelling, you know, taste, taste. And, you know, it's hard to believe that was my first word. But nevertheless, that's what I was told. And my early life was a happy one. My life kind of changed. My sister was born 3 days later. And after that, my, 3 years after me, I'm sorry, I got distracted there. Then we moved to a house that was kind of rickety, a fixer-upper, but that's when I knew the word fear, because it had an old coal furnace. And that's what heated the house, was coal. And I remember going downstairs being scared of the furnace, being scared of what was in the coal cellar. It just was really spooky. But nevertheless, we existed. Pardon me 1 minute. I'm sorry about that. It was a distraction. Where did I leave off? So that's when I learned about fear. I also learned about humiliation, because we moved to a new neighborhood. So I had to learn about new friends, and I was the oldest of two girls. Everybody else had brothers, so therefore I had been humiliated a couple of times. Sometimes very terribly, but I learned how to use a couple words that wasn't supposed to use. But nevertheless, I tried to defend myself. And but nevertheless, things were getting worse and worse with my parents, to the point where my dad had to leave. My mother was talking about divorce. And things were just getting a little hairy for me as a child. And I would console myself with eating we had a grocery store, a mom and pop store, and I was free to go to get anything I wanted. All I had to do was get like a couple of soda bottles and cash them in, and I could go get candy. So that's what I would do. I'd get candy or whatever confections was in the store, and that added up. Because when I got to third grade and things were real hairy around the house, I was 130 pounds, and I was the biggest girl in class. And then come fourth grade, I was 128 pounds. I couldn't remember these numbers, 128 pounds. And then here comes the infamous fifth grade. My dad goes to treatment, which was the state hospital. They didn't have treatment centers like they do now. He went to the state hospital to get dried out. We went to a newer school where everybody K through 12 went to school under one roof. That was a new concept. So therefore, I'm encountering all these kids, and then my body changes. I'm getting my menses. I got boobs. I got everything. I just, you know, my body was just freaking me out. And with that change, I encountered responses to my body changes from the people in my school. And I didn't know what to do. All I knew is, my body changes. I didn't like the fact that I was gaining all this weight. I just tried to have friends that I could hang with and not be teased. But and middle school was okay for a while, but then high school started, and that's when the names came up. There was one particular song. I mean, it was just terrible. There's a song, and they called me all kind of, you know, the names you get called. And I couldn't get adjusted to even going to school. I'd have to find a new door to come in because there would be a group of boys that would tease me and always make fun of my anatomy. And I thought I was liking this one kid because this one kid I liked, and he liked me mutually, but he left. And so I started liking this other guy. He kind of liked my anatomy. Nevertheless, I felt accepted. And one day we went off somewhere, and what I thought was going to be some heavy kissing turned out to be a gang rape. And that changed everything for me. And I wanted to commit suicide. I thank God to a girl in my homeroom who told me not to go to the drugstore to buy sleeping pills because she didn't know what she would do if I were to do away with myself. I didn't tell my parents any of this. I didn't tell them I was raped. I didn't tell them. They died not knowing anything from me. I just wanted to hurry up and get through school and get out of it. I didn't tell even teachers what had happened. I told no adults. I just tried to bite my bullet and bite the bullet and get through class and do what I wanted to do after I graduated. I excelled in school. I was pretty smart. I did very well in class. And that was the main thing, do well, to get out of school, get out of this county, get out of this area, and just get away. So I wanted a geographical cure. If I leave, things will get better. But I left. I went to a school in Middle State, and nobody was calling me names. It was a whole different atmosphere, and I was partying hard. I wasn't even going. I was going to class, but I wasn't paying attention. I wanted to marry a football player. My focus was all off. But eventually I graduated. I don't know how, but I graduated. And I graduated, and I couldn't get a job because I didn't want to further my education. Because the degree I got, it was great as a bachelor's degree, but I needed certification. And I was just tired of going to school. So at this time, I had been introduced to Overeaters Anonymous during some of the summers, but I didn't stay there. But I tried a way and pay again, and I'm about 23. I tried another way and pay. I was losing weight, but again, their program changed. They were allowing different things to come in, and I started to eat them, and I was gaining weight again. So at the end of that year, which was 1984, I prayed and got to God and said, God, show me what to do. And give me the power to do it. So I didn't know what he was going to tell me, but the next day my mother said to me, let's go back to OA, because she had taken me to my first meeting during the summer of 1980. I thought, I don't want to go back to that. All they're doing is talking. But I had been to enough AA meetings with my dad, because my dad was a member of AA, that I knew that a lot of people stayed sober with that program. And I know God said to me that day, that January 1st, if I can do it for these alcoholics, I can do it for you too. And I went back to my mother and I said, okay, Mom, let's go to OA. And I did. I did what I was told to do, or strongly suggested to do. And I got a sponsor who had what I wanted, and then she dropped out. So I tried to self-sponsor. Well, that don't work. And I panicked. And I was, but there was a lady I wanted as my sponsor, and I got the courage to ask her. And when I did, she hugged me. Oh, she hugged me. She hugged me like she was my great lost aunt. She just hugged me and she says, oh, I'm so happy to be your sponsor. And she sponsored me. And I was about 25. And as we worked through the steps, I told her stuff I hadn't told anybody. But she did strongly suggest I go see rape counseling. And I'm grateful that she did. And it helped me to remember it wasn't my fault. There were some things I learned in rape counseling, but she strongly suggested, because she said, I can't counsel you on that, but you need counseling. And we worked through the steps, and the weight was releasing. I was at the end of college, that was 250. I had went down to 150 in 9 months. I lost 100 pounds, or released 100 pounds. Well, then I got a new body. I'm 25 years old. And of course, other addictions pop up. One of them being, like, I had put down cigarettes, but one of my addictions was men. And I would go to baseball games, football games, and any different places where men were, and just see who would I go out with this week. And I even went to church to see who I'd go out with this week, because there's men in church too. Not a lot, but I did. Nevertheless, I met a couple guys, but the one who ended up being the father of my children, I met him in church. But I didn't marry him at first. We got within 2 months, I was pregnant, and that's so shows how the addiction was. I was pregnant. We didn't get married because he had left. And make a long story short, my sponsor at the time, she said, "Don't leave the program. Even though you're pregnant, don't leave. You need the program more now than you ever do." And she helped me through that pregnancy, and I had a baby girl. She'll be 36 this year. And I took her to meetings. I actually took her to meetings and nursed her at the meetings. I loved bringing her to meetings. And but then I got anxious, and I started going to less meetings because I thought, oh, I got to bring the baby, da 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 da. And I wasn't going to as many meetings. I was missing, I was missing having somebody to help me and this baby. I was going to marry this one guy, that didn't work out. And I left him and went back to my child's father. Not back, but I went with my child's father. Now, found out a lot of, we had a lot of baggage, both of us. And he had a lot of baggage he hid. And I accepted that. Because I wasn't in program. I wasn't talking to anybody who had any sense or sanity. I just was leaving it all up to my brain. And of course, the marriage was a mess. And I gained all the weight back and 50 more pounds. So I went from 150 to 300. And I remember I still had OA literature. I didn't go to any meetings. I didn't call anybody. But I had OA literature. And that literature, especially that brown book, I'm reading stories in the brown book because I was so upset with myself. And I said, God, a bad day in OA is better than what I'm experiencing now. Even though I had a brand new house, that didn't cure it. That didn't help me. So the marriage got to a point where Mike said, in order to survive, he couldn't live with me. And I said, fine. And I took me and my three kids and we left. Well, he didn't like that too. We had custody battles, we were back and forth. But the first thing I did when I left, I found an OA meeting that next day. Once I got settled that day, the next day I went to an OA meeting. And it was a more structured meeting, it was OA How. But I needed the sanity of just making me shut up and listen, because you weren't supposed to speak your mind. You basically, at that meeting, I had to listen. I could read stuff, but I couldn't give my opinion because I can't. I was too sick. I was sick with the food. I was sick spiritually. I was sick emotionally. I needed just the sanity of staying stable and in the solution. And
gentle
thank God
reminder.
For that. Because, thank you. But because thank God for that, because I got the sanity as I followed what my sponsor said. Even though that sponsor left, I didn't wait 3 months. I got a sponsor immediately, and it was a lady who lived in another county in western Pennsylvania. But I remember her speaking at one of those intergroup days of sharing. And I remember she would hold this telephone up with her number on it. I remembered her number, and I called her, and she agreed to be my sponsor. And we would go back and forth on the phone. Even though it cost me money, it was worth every penny because she was saving my life. She agreed to sponsor me sight unseen. She knew what I looked like. We didn't have, what is that called, that what we got now. We didn't have FaceTime and all that, but she sponsored me. And when I first met her and she saw me, she was so happy because I had released, again, 100 pounds. And we hugged and we talked, and, oh, it was just so good to talk with her. And she was, oh, my gosh, she was 35 years older than I was, but she had so much experience, strength, and hope. And I got anxious again because I was missing my daughter's father, and I thought maybe we can reconcile. Now, I didn't run this by my sponsors, which I should have. So I thought maybe we would reconcile. Well, that didn't work out. And I got humiliated, and next thing I know, I'm back to eating again because I'm angry at God. I'm angry at my ex. I'm angry at everybody. Everybody who was affiliated with churches, I was so angry. I was just eating, even though I was still going to church. That's how sick I was. I was just angry. And I ate and ate and ate. I had gained 60 pounds within 3 months. And not only that, I just kept gaining. I was mishitting and missing with OA meetings. To 2011, I had got up to 400 pounds, and I got scared. And I said, I need to go back to OA. Now, my mother had died in 2004, and I went back to program for a minute. I was there for about 3 months. I released 50 pounds. I was doing this on the telephone at the time. And the telephone meeting worked because I released that weight, but my sponsor had to physically, she had to move. She wanted me to find a sponsor so that she could hand me off, you know, so she'd know I'd be in good care. But I did and said, oh, yeah, I'm people pleasing. I got a sponsor. No, I didn't. That's how sick I was. I needed to stay in that solution, but I was hitting and missing with these phone meetings. But I would listen, and I found the 100-pounders meeting around 2017, 2018, this particular meeting. And I had it with my disease. So I said, God, if you don't help me with this, find somebody who has lost, who's been about 400 pounds and lost some weight, I'm not coming back to L.A. And I put my name and number at this meeting, and this lady told her gave her statistics, and she agreed to sponsor me. Now, did I listen to everything she said? I struggled a lot, and to the point where I still was eating, and I had kept eating and gaining and gaining and gaining, and I got up to 577 pounds. I didn't know that, because I wasn't weighing myself at the time. When I got to like 450, I quit weighing. But I had collapsed in my bathroom last June, and I couldn't get out of the house. And it took 15 paramedics and firefighters to get me out of that house. And they took me to the hospital. I hadn't been to a doctor in a while because I couldn't get to the doctor because my wheelchair, which was a supersizer, couldn't fit on the medical. And they got me up, and they got me in a medical stretcher, and they put me in an ambulance. I went to the hospital, and they announced you weigh 577 pounds. I had to be weighed in a bed. Now, I had been dealing with cellulitis and all that off and on, but this time I knew I'm going to die. And I had called in my family, and I said, you know, gave them all the information where everything was. And I said to them, if I wake up in the next morning, then, you know, I'm still here. But I said to God, if I wake up the next morning, you got to tell me what to do because I have no clue. I woke up the next morning, and the first thing I received on my phone, and I had been receiving it on my phone, was a copy of the VOR that this person had been sending me every day. And I knew the answer was OA because God's telling me through the voice of recovery, the answer is OA. So I asked this person if they'd be my sponsor because they told me they were moving me to another facility, and I stayed there for 2 months. And I did exactly what my sponsor told me to.
Time.
Which is in front of you. And I did. And I have been coming to meetings all this time since then, doing service and staying in the solution. I know that service saves lives because the people in this program give of themselves free of charge, but I've received so much from doing service too. But I'm so grateful for this program. Or literally, I'd be dead. I shouldn't be here, but not obviously I'm supposed to be here. But I'm grateful for sharing you my experience, strength, and hope. My motto would always be keep coming back. Don't leave until the miracle happens. And service saves lives. So my name is, again, Lorraine W. My phone number is 724-822-6175. I live on the eastern side of the nation. And you can call anytime. Just leave your name and number. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And I thank you for allowing me to share my experience, strength, and hope. With that, I pass.
Thank you.